wanna be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Robbie Ray ready to go, and we're underway with Altuve drilling one deep to left field. This game starts with a home run. Jose Altuve's ninth leadoff home run of the season, most in the major leagues.
First pitch. He knows Robbie Ray's coming with a fastball. Apparently, Robbie Ray throws more fastballs on the first pitch than anybody in baseball. So Jose Altuve knows fastball's coming. What does he do? He turns on it, and he starts that. And then it was just deflation. And then Pena homers, of course. And it's just deflation for those Mariners as they lose all three. Their July World Series, they get swept in their July World Series. They were actually calling it, saying this is like the World Series
for us.
Who
was they? It wasn't the actual team, right?
Mariner fan base is obnoxious as all get out. As obnoxious as see us. What does it say?
See us rise?
See us rise, yeah. I guess that's a play on Sea Rising and
Sea Seattle. And
S-E-A.
You responded with the hashtag to someone, right?
See us dominate.
A Mariel, you responded
to Mariel, yeah.
You know, maybe it's because there's so much Game of Thrones content coming out. Comic Con was over the weekend, and that shows the new show's coming out in August. But the Astros went into Seattle and put.
By the way, those weirdos were at the around Minute Maid for the Yankee game.
People dressed as Game of Thrones characters?
Yeah, not Game of Thrones, as Comic-Con.
Oh, Comic-Con.
Yeah,
oh.
There was all kinds of people dressed up, and we were like, this is interesting.
But the Astros went up there and put down a rebellion. You know,
yeah.
House Mariner was like getting a little spicy. Like, hey, I mean, coming out of the All-Star break, you know, if the Astros lose to New York and they come here, we got a real shot to make it a series. Nah.
It was the Red Wedding.
Well, I mean, what they did to Robbie Ray was a red wedding. I mean, what they did to him.
Yeah.
But this was more like what the Starks would do. They would put down one of their bannermen who got a little uppity, but they wouldn't decimate them. You know, the Mariners are still in the race for a potential wild card spot.
Well, they're the third team still. Yeah.
So that it wasn't like what Tywin would do. Tywin would kill you, your family, your children. Yeah. So to wipe you off the face of the earth, the Astros just put down a rebellion to let the Mariners, House Mariner, know. It's not that time for you guys.
No,
don't worry about it.
It's just not. I was pounding the pavement in the offseason. Watch out for the Mariners. Watch out for the Mariners. And sure enough, they're the second place team in the division, just like I said they would be. I didn't say they were going to win the division. People are like, Johnny's Mariners. They're not my Mariners, okay?
Kind of.
I don't like the Mariners. All I said was I'm a little bit afraid of them this offseason, and rightfully so. They reeled off 14 in a row.
And then what happened?
And then the Astros came to town. And then a real good baseball team came to town. I love Presley's. Yeah, get Presley's. I love Presley's response. When asked Ryan Presley, who is back, by the way, and being Ryan Presley again, when asked about, hey, what about this Seattle team? You guys coming in here, they were really playing great. This was a big series. Here's Ryan Presley.
We're not really thinking about them. We just want to show up to the field, and we expect to win every day. So I think that's the mentality that we have. So regardless of who we're playing, you know, whether it be whoever, you know, we just want to go out there and win. So I think the mentality on this club is it's pretty good when you want to come in here and beat a team that's got 14 wins.
You know, that's just like kicking them in the face, isn't it, while they're down?
I mean, they're the Greyjoys. Who cares about that?
But I know, but Ryan, you could say, no. You know, they were a good team. They were coming up. We felt them on, you know, breathing down our back. Well, not really. They were a long way back there. You can't really feel them.
Yeah. Were they using like a fan to feel them on their back? Well, breathing. How many games were they back?
But they were playing great. They filled the stadium. They had to tell everybody to show up.
Yeah, the low-born and small folk of Seattle had to show up to the ballpark and watch House Mariner get destroyed.
Listen, I'm not going to make fun of them for saying show up. One thing that pisses – it's amazing. It's amazing to me. when they flash at Minute Maid, you don't go to a lot of games, right? You don't go.
I don't go.
So you hear it, and you're like, you're hearing fans cheer, and then when the pitch is coming, everybody's not, there's no cheering. I am, as opposed to a reactive fan, okay, to react to everything that's going on the field, I'm trying to induce, I'm trying to be proactive as in my cheering. So I like to get up, let's go, come on. You know, when there's a big pitch, a two-strike pitch coming with men on base in a close game, I'm like, let's go. And at Minute Maid, they put up Make Noise, right? And the whole stadium, all of the banners along the railings, they all light up with Make Noise. And everybody makes noise. And then as soon as they take Make Noise off before the pitch, everybody stops making noise.
They told you to stop.
They didn't tell you to stop. Yeah. They didn't tell you to stop. They don't say stop making noise
now. It's
like
when you're at a live broadcast of a sitcom. Cheer. And then you turn it off, stop cheering. Yeah, you're going to mess with the show.
No, we're not messing up the show. We can keep on cheering. And I saw him doing the wave yesterday. It's at Seattle while their team is making their comeback before Maldonado crushed all their hopes and dreams with the blue single.
He had a couple of those yesterday.
Yeah, well, I don't know why they're playing them like more than 40 feet off the infield.
No idea.
Well, I got it.
Show him a little.
Put a little respect. No, I got to put some respect because he has hit better. But they're doing the wave, and I'm like, you deserve to get swept, you people. Let's never do the wave again, please. Let's make that our goal as the Astros come home after these three against Oakland. All right, if I tell you that they'll lose 2 out of 3 to Oakland, what would you say?
I would say, you sure they won't get swept? Yeah. That's kind of what they do.
It's what they do. And Ryan Pressly is wrong. I'm not believing 1 second of what he just said. It doesn't matter who's coming. It matters. And they step up. It was the Yankees and the Mariners in 5 straight games. And, you know, and both of them, you're on the Yankees' heels. The Mariners had won 14 in a row. Coming out of the All-Star break, you guys, you know, if you falter, now all of a sudden everybody's going, ooh, look at this. We can catch. We dominate. Nah. The Astros just went slap, 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 and they beat the snot out of both of those teams. But now they got Oakland. And you know what? That's worrisome. Did you see that the 2 Mariners fans who were, hey, dude, you know, we're going to beat the, or we can beat the Astros or something, and then dog, D-A-W-G, this other guy responds. The Astros Twitter responded, hey, dude, you know, we haven't lost a road series all year. You know that, right, dog? Right? And I'm just like, oh, that is so funny. And was it true that Lance McCullers was running their
Twitter
account?
They said he was the admin, like, all year. I'm not sure if they were just playing into him getting after a Mariner fan earlier.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they tweeted it out when you find out that Lance is the admin or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's real or not.
I don't know if that's real or not either, but I was like, oh, look at that. I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't. You know what? He's sitting there watching the games.
What
Why not?
He doing? Yeah.
Just tweet, Lance, what the hell? Well, take it over. I could see it, and he's saucy. And the account isn't nearly as saucy as, say, Burger King's, or whose is it? Wendy's?
I think it's Wendy's. Yeah.
Wendy's account is saucy, right?
Yes.
Lance wasn't nearly as saucy, but he does like to go after people, and he was dead on. And I was like, Lance, don't give him any bulletin board material. Before the series started, one guy went after him and said, hey, or Lance said something about, oh, no. Yeah, Lance had said something. The guy goes, hey, you're on the injured reserve.
You're an IL. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, but I'm kind of tired of 8 years of beating your ass. So yeah, I took a break.
Yeah.
I took a break. All that happened this weekend, and it was just so much fun. Just beating them. And Jose Altuve, listen. Last week or the week before, Josh Jordan and I did one of these YouTube things that we do, and you can check it out at SportsMap HOU, and check it out on YouTube. And he says the nerds say that Jose Altuve is better this year than he was in his MVP year. That there are advanced stats like DWXFIP.
Is that a real thing?
No, I don't know that. I don't know that.
I feel like you made that one up.
I think I am. But no, he was saying, and he was giving me all these letters, and I was like, really, dude? Because with my human eyes, I can see that Jose Altuve is not as good as his MVP year.
2017.
2017.
When he hit 346.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's not. You can all your nerd stats, okay, that's great. But I will say this. When it comes nut-cutting time against big opponents, there is nobody better than Jose Altuve. There's just nobody better. And he is leading off the game with a bunt, starting the whole thing with a bunt, and then he can bunt or he can homer off you. Which one? Which one is more demoralizing? First pitch home run, or he bunts his way on and then comes around to score?
Well, the bunt is almost embarrassing that he got you. The home run is like a shock to the system because you're settling in. You're okay, first pitch. You're excited about the game depending on what part of the series. He just knocks one, particularly on the first pitch. It's like, oh, it's this again.
Come on. Wait, again? What?
It's like if you're a football fan, it's a big game, and you're excited, and you go right down the field and score a touchdown.
Well, how about like the Chiefs playoff game where they return the opening kick?
Yes, that's such a gut punch to a Texan fan.
Well, that's like Altuve, pitch homer.
But if you're on the opposite side, you're nervous about the game, and you go right down the field and score a touchdown, you're like, okay, everything's going to be okay. That's what when Altuve does that for the Astro fans, and the Astros like, all right, we're probably in for a good day today.
Yeah,
and he does it a lot.
I kind of felt bad for their fans. Because they really didn't have anything to cheer about all weekend.
They had 14 games in a row to cheer.
Well, they did, but then they're like, okay, here comes the evil empire. Now we got to beat them.
The Astros are the evil empire?
For them? To Seattle, they are.
I don't feel bad for them. I mean,
do you know how we have dominated them in their building? I mean, it is embarrassing how the Astros have treated them.
Next time, the Astros are going to be, it's Prima Nocta time. We'll take her. And her, hey, we're the kings of this place. What do you want from us?
Or who?
They've been pretty nice.
Who
to
was
them.
The really bad guy with the dogs?
What's his name? Ramsey.
Ramsey.
Ramsey Bolton.
Ramsey Bolton. The Astros are Ramsey Bolton going in there.
Well, I mean, they leave people alive. Stuff. I mean, they leave people alive. So I think they're more like the Sarks.
I'm not sure anybody's left alive in Seattle today. I'm not sure.
They don't want to talk baseball. It's not like Seahawks training camp is going to get them excited. I don't know if they're going to gravitate towards, but hey, guys, you're still in the wild card race. Hey, this is what you were about.
And here's the problem with that whole thing is they want revenge on the Astros, but the Astros are going to be the only team sitting and watching while the wild cards are going on.
Go ahead and get all the revenge you want.
A game and a half now behind the Yankees with the tiebreaker. A game and a half behind the Yankees. Unfortunately for the Astros, they've got the A's for the next three.
And that's weird to say, we know, considering the A's are the last place team, but it doesn't appear to matter when it comes to the Astros, and competition matters to them, and they step up. But when the competition takes a downturn, it's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. No. They don't. It's just like so funny. The Astros play down to their competition. Well, it's to play down to the A's anyway. I think
the A's are the second worst team in baseball.
They're terrible.
Yeah.
They're a triple A club. They're awful. And on the other side. Well, on the other side, we got to talk about John Metchie. Let's talk about John Metchie on the other side. This is a huge blow, and not just football wise, it's a blow. But man, it just sucks to see something like this for a young guy like this. We will talk about it on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. The news came out this weekend. John Metchie put it out that he has the most curable form of leukemia. And that's the good news. The bad news is that he has any form of leukemia. He's going to spend the year not playing football, getting better, and hopefully he will be. What a blow to the young man. Forget the organization, you know, the football-wise, whatever. I was looking forward to seeing John Metchie. I didn't know as a rookie how much he would be able to contribute, but I was really looking forward to seeing him on the field. And, see, you know, a lot of people, Well, first of all, they gave up to get him. They gave up quite a bit. You know, they moved around. Nick Caserio moving around. He really wanted John Metchie. He moved up to get him in the second round. And there was some criticism for that. Lance was one of the guys who criticized the move. He didn't feel like John Metchie was worth all that. John Metchie, actually, he felt like he grabbed him a little high. John Metchie doesn't have – he wasn't sure that John Metchie has the separation skill speed to get it done. You can read – there were a bunch of criticisms of John Metchie. Plus, he's coming off the injury. So there were, you know, there are some thoughts about that. Is he going to be the same guy? You don't know. Blah, 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 blah. Knee injuries anymore are not a big deal. I mean, no. That's no big deal. But John Metchie was in the team plans to be in the slot with Brandon Cooks, Nico Collins, and Brevin Jordan, and Marlon Mack in the backfield. It's not great. It's not going to put the fear of God in any defense. It's not like the Bills attack. It's not like the Chiefs or the, you know, it's not one of the upper echelon skill position. Actually, it's, you know, considered one of the worst skill position teams in the NFL. But John Metchie could have been a different
Texans,
defender.
Like you said, 29, 30.
It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, Davis Mills is left off of everything. It doesn't matter what list you have. It doesn't matter what you're talking about. The Texans are 29th, 30th, 31st, or 32nd, period. It doesn't matter what position you're talking about. That all said, you just hope for the best for. And you know, he seems to, what his statement, it seems like he's got a nice positive attitude.
Yeah, it's been a rough year for him as far as things that have kind of derailed his football career. I, as a young man, having something like that hit you, I don't know how to respond. I mean, was he 22? At 22, I was kind of a bleep head, so I don't know if I would have been able to put out a positive statement about that. I might have just stayed in my room and hid. So we're all, if whatever force you pray to, or maybe you just like to send out good vibes, send those John Metchie's way, because that's a kid who's been through quite a bit in the last year or so, and hopefully he's correct, and hopefully things go the way he projects, and he's back starting whenever. Hopefully this as soon as next year. But as you said, he pretty much said he won't be playing football this year, and like, the football stuff is unimportant. I just hope he gets through it, and then he can kind of restart what appeared to be, particularly the back half of his Alabama career, a very promising one.
Recently, I was diagnosed with APL, and I'm not going to try to read it. It's acute P word, promyelocytic, whatever it is, leukemia, the most curable form of leukemia. I'm currently receiving great medical care and in good spirits, and I expect to make a recovery at a later point in time. As a result of this diagnosis, I will likely not be playing football this season. My main focus will be on my health and recovery. Thank you in advance for your support and well wishes. I cannot wait to come back stronger than ever. God bless. That is just, you just hate to see something like that for your guy. And, you know, I was looking forward to seeing John Metchie on the football field. But for any young man that has to go through that, John Metchie, you're right. He said, I mean, get the knee injury and now this. And by all accounts, he was going to be back for the start of training camp. And then this blow. I wonder what prompted him to go get tested. There must have been some effects that somehow, some way, he was being affected by the leukemia. And he went and got tested. But not going to speculate, obviously. But hopefully, he seems like he's in good spirits. To hear that you have leukemia is probably a huge, but to hear that you have the most curable is nice. Especially, maybe God made Nick Caserio move up to 44 overall so that John Metchie could be here at the Houston Med Center.
Yeah, that is certainly a boon for him. We all know if you're in this city, whether you've been affected directly or just know someone, this is a prime place to be.
This is the best place, one of the best places in the world.
Yeah, if you are suffering from some form of cancer. I mean, some of the things, if he was, we don't know this, what symptoms he was suffering from: anemia, fatigue, weakness, chills, depression, so difficulty breathing. So who knows what led him to getting tested, but thankfully he was able to, and they could figure something out. And they diagnosed him, and as you said, you went through everything that it's the most curable form. So hopefully that plays out, and then we see him just in good health before we talk about what he can be as a receiver for the Texans.
So, you know, they've got a little bit of money, not much cap room, but they got a little bit of cap room. You were hoping on him at the slot, and from a football standpoint, now as you go into a season here, you're actually the quarterbacks reported yesterday, quarterbacks and rookies reported yesterday, so they're out there. John Metchie was supposed to report yesterday. Now what do you do? I mean, it's a little late in the game,
to be replacing
a second rounder who was, by all accounts, going to be your starter at the slot.
You have a couple of veterans. Chris Conley had some plays last year. You brought in Philip Dorsett. He's a smaller, faster type. I don't know if you slide him into the slot, or maybe you move Brandon Cooks there and move Conley to the outside. They have some options as far as what's on the roster. I don't know if you're finding anyone better who's just waiting in the wings.
No. You ain't finding anybody better. Maybe you slot Burkhead out there sometimes. Cool. I think that you got some, obviously, maybe you go two tights more. I mean, you're absolutely going to have to adjust to this because, you know, I don't know how much they figured, but they like Metchie enough to, you know, trade, move around and move up to get him. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how the offense changes. I don't know how much you could depend on a rookie that you were going to make him a huge part of your offense, but you might be going two tights. Maybe now Farrell Brown will be that first team All Pro, like he said.
Okay.
Well, he might have to be on the field more.
I'm looking at the current wide receivers who are free agents. You got your T.Y. Hiltons, your Emmanuel Sanders. We know Beckham Jr., but he's not coming here. There are some names. Cole Beasley is still floating out there.
That's a little white guy. I could see that.
Why could you see that?
Well, because it's the Texans.
And you, they need
in a little white guy.
That's, is that why you suggested Rex Burkhead? Because he's
Rex
smaller.
Would Rex Burkhead be anywhere else?
I mean, the Chargers would maybe assign him just to keep him off the field last year for what he did to them.
He did. That was prima nocta too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
Cole Beasley is out there. He's a proven player. I don't know if Cole Beasley wants to come play here, but he is a Texas guy. So maybe there's a spot for him here if they so choose.
Do Texans outside of Houston look at the Texans and go, man, I'm back in Texas?
I mean, maybe he just wants to be back in his state where he can put out terrible rap songs and, I don't know, talk about how his freedoms are being violated. Texas is a great place if you want all your freedoms.
Oh, if you're looking for freedoms, you got them right here in a state. I saw where, did you see like, One study said like Texas was the second worst place to live.
Based on what?
Based on stupidity. Based on a stupid study. That's what it was.
All right.
Based on.
That's the evidence.
Yeah. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to hang out here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, Houston does have more football.
You excited? I know you're excited.
I'm really excited. I don't know. I got
to
get.
We got to start talking to some people.
We can get involved in this thing again, but hopefully, you know, we will be your home for XFL football again because that was all kinds of fun last time. We'll see if we're going to be able to do it again. We will talk about that on the other side. And if you want to get it, how about your Astros people? What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Is coming up at 7:45. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence is coming up at 7:45. And we better have a bunch of them because we learned a lot this weekend. We learned a lot about our baseball team. We might have learned a lot about our wife, about our girlfriend, our kids. There's something that we learned this weekend, and we need you at 7:45 to bring those to the show. That's been a pretty successful, pretty good segment. So let's keep that going. You got to get yours ready, though. What'd you learn this weekend about Granny or anything?
There's nothing to learn there.
You know every part?
You could say that. Jeez. I was going to say you know everything. You say everything, but you said part. Yeah. Sure. Okay.
from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776, the number to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, we have ourselves we have an XFL team again. I'm not sure. They didn't say whether or not they're the Roughnecks, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, none of the teams got names.
Well,
right?
We do know this, that the logo has to change because it was too much like the Derrick in the Oilers Derrick. So apparently the Oilers,
Titans?
The Titans were none too pleased with, and screw you, Titans. Like anybody confused that Derek with your Derek. And by the way, you're not even using your Derek. Okay? So, shut up.
There's a chance this year because NFL teams can now, we talked about this, the two shells, the two different helmets, so and those have been coming out of the weekend. So they could pull out a Houston Oilers throw or Tennessee Oilers throwback if they so choose this year. It's a possibility.
Who now say that again? Why?
You know the NFL is allowing teams.
Yeah, but they're not allowed to use that at all.
It's Tennessee Oilers. Tennessee.
Oh, the Oilers can use.
Yeah,
pull it
the
out.
Titans can. The Titans they can could pull possibly pull it out this year if they so choose. But to your point, no one was thinking. Oh, that's the Oilers.
I don't think there's any chance that they would use the Derrick.
They would probably use their first Tennessee.
Yeah.
Logo.
Yeah.
Helmet as opposed to a Tennessee Oilers one.
So, we're not sure what it is. We do know that Wade Phillips is our coach. We've got three teams in Texas, which is good for me if we do get it. I went up to Dallas and I did the game. I think that was our last game that we played. It might have been the last game we played before we were.
Wasn't a goal line stand in
that
one?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was fantastic. It was a great game. And we won. Bob Stoops will coach that team again. Hines Ward is going to coach the San Antonio team. Anthony Beck coaches the team in St. Louis. Terrell Buckley will coach the team in Orlando. Reggie Barlow will coach the D.C. team. Jim Haslett gets the Seattle franchise. And Rod Woodson coaches Vegas. You'll notice no California team, no New York team, no New Jersey team this year. So they've got teams now in Vegas, which is awesome.
Okay.
Seattle was very successful with their team. Orlando, we'll see how Orlando does with their team. San Antonio is a new team this year, and Hines Ward is going to be their coach, but that's just down the road. That's going to be an easy travel game. Looking forward to this and seeing whether or not. Now, do you think it's going to be so diluted with the USFL that it's going to be? I mean, listen. The product wasn't because of P.J. Walker in large part, but they had some guys that can play. They had some guys that actually made NFL rosters. Because of P.J. Walker, the play was not horrible. And there were a couple other quarterbacks who actually were decent.
Yeah,
so
Jordan Ta'amu
was good at St. Louis. Yeah. He was decent. You did get some decent quarterback play, but you had P.J. Walker, who was outstanding. And I guess we're biased because we saw P.J.
If they're the league completed, he would have won MVP.
Yeah, no question. No question he would have won league MVP. But do you think that now with the USFL that's going to be so watered down that it's going to be an unwatchable product?
My biggest issue will be can they find enough offensive linemen? Because that's a problem too. There are only so many tackles who can play professional football. And if you have obviously you have your NFL, then you have your even throw in the Canadian League, you have your USFL. How many tackles can you find? That'll affect quarterback play too. Are the leagues going to be going on at the same time, correct? The USFL and the XFL.
I guess
will that
they
be
are.
The case?
Well, the USFL moved into the spring where the XFL had been, yeah.
Yeah, so quarterback play, as it always is in the leagues that aren't the NFL, because there are barely 32 passable starting quarterbacks in the NFL, so you think about it on the lower level, it's going to be a problem. I just hope they kind of make the offenses something that makes it easy on the quarterbacks and it's not so NFL-centric. A lot of NFL guys who have coached the NFL for a long time, Bob Stoops being the one that hasn't, in these positions, but make the game fun. I don't need to watch the NFL. I mean, I'm not saying, hey, you should run the triple option, although it would be pretty funny to see professionals try to do it, but just make it different. Yeah. Like the rules were different that made the game more entertaining.
And there were some good rules. There were some good rule changes, actually. The kickoff was a pretty good rule, I think, you can go for an extra point, you can go for 2 points, you can go for 3 points. And if you're 3 points down in the final minute of the game, you got a chance. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if it can get done, and it probably would mostly be for the quarterbacks. But if you can get some practice squad young quarterbacks from the NFL, then go, hey, we'll be your training ground, almost like NFL Europe was. Trying to get linemen to play almost two seasons probably ain't the thing. But if you can go, hey, Matt Corral, you probably aren't going to get much time in Carolina. You want to play here and actually get reps and show your NFL franchise. I know that XFL and NFL would have to come to some sort of agreement to do that. But
well, and not only that, but would you want to injure your high draft pick quarterback? I don't know that you want to injure him at the
first rounders is something different. He wasn't a first. I get what you're saying. He wasn't a first rounder, but he was a second day pick, yeah. I believe. I know what you're saying, but. When is Matt Corral's not going to get any snaps this year? Baker and Darnold.
No, probably you would love get those if snaps. It wasn't for the injury factor. Absolutely, you'd send him. Let's go to the XFL, get some snaps, and then come on back.
I mean, I don't know how many games they're going to play, but the XFL can't be a true proving ground because Matt Corral would play, I don't know, a 4 or 5 games and get out of there. But if they could find some way to make it work, that would help quarterback play. I just don't know if it'll happen.
So you're talking about a G League kind of thing.
Almost. I mean, at least for the quarterbacks, because, like I said, for the players who are fit, who have to have all that physical demand on them, I'm not sure playing in the spring then playing in the fall is great for them. But something where you can get your young quarterbacks to play, it helps both leagues because it helps the product, I think, in the XFL, and it gives name recognition to some of those teams.
But wouldn't it be good? I mean, maybe not Charlie Heck, but what's the LSU lineman that the Texans just drafted late? I mean, I think that would be a great place.
I mean, I'm not against that either.
You know, go play a couple, 3 games.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm not saying I wouldn't be against it either. I just don't know the physical toll of playing, I don't know, a 6, 7, 8. What was the original season supposed to be?
It was supposed to be 10.
All right, a 10-game year, and then, I don't know, getting a month or two off, maybe less than that to come in the training camp and be ready. So those are things you'd have to balance out. But if you're an NFL, if you're legitimately on an NFL roster but not getting time, maybe you play a 4-game smaller season just to get so you get film so your team can see you. That stuff has to be worked out, but to help the talent in the XFL, I think that'd be a way to go about
so it. You're probably going to do another 10-game schedule with 2 4-team divisions. You play everybody once, you play your own division twice, and you get yourself another 10-game season, which would be, you know, that'll be, hopefully be nice. We'll see what happens. We are your station for XFL football.
Is that guaranteed?
No. We were your station for XFL football.
I just didn't want you to say something that ain't real or true yet.
Well, it was true.
Yes.
Did I say we are your
station?
We
are your station is what you said.
Well, it's
stretching a little bit.
Yeah, we were, and hopefully we will be your station for XFL football once again, because that was just fun. That was a lot of fun. We had the best team.
Do you think
we won the championship?
Do you think you'll be able to develop another signature touchdown call if it's not the Roughnecks? Because you perfected the Tony the Tiger Roughneck call.
It wasn't Tony the Tiger.
Roughnecks. It was very great.
It had nothing to do with Tony the Tiger.
It sounded like him. I don't know. I think you should have paid.
Great.
Yeah. Roughnecks. I think you should have paid Kellogg something, because I don't know. You know, I don't think you can actually pay a cartoon tiger, but maybe Kellogg should have come for your pocket for what you did. But I just hope there's a name that, if it's not Roughnecks, that you, if we get it, if ESPN ISM5 gets it, I mean, you can develop a call that can live on in infamy.
Hopefully. I don't know if it's not going to be Roughnecks, but if it is Roughnecks, I think we're gonna dust it off and bring it back out.
I mean, I doubt it's in the system. I doubt my folder still exists, but it's in there somewhere.
I'm sure somebody's got it somewhere. Brian, you find that. Find that. Nah, don't find it, Brian. We don't need that.
Nah, if it's there, find it to remind the people.
No, we don't need none of that. Well, I don't know, and I don't know if The Rock is going to like it. We got to figure out if The Rock likes it yet or not.
He's too busy promoting Black Adam, his superhero movie. He ain't got time to worry about you.
Is he in Wakanda Forever?
No, that's a different movie featuring black people.
I got you.
No, he's not Black Adam because he's... Well, he's not black, I guess. But he's not Black Adam because of race. He's Black Adam because of how he was created, I guess, as a superhero.
Ah, no. Well, by the way, did you see the video of him when he was 12 years old watching his dad? What do you mean he's not? Rock is black, isn't he?
I don't know, actually. I didn't want to step on
him. I saw his dad, who was a wrestler. His dad was black.
I didn't want to step on any toes. I didn't really know. I didn't know his race. I just saw that's a caramel man in front of me. That's all.
That's all. You don't want to.
Yeah. I don't want to make any projections.
What gender is he?
I think he identifies as a man.
What?
I believe he's never said he doesn't.
Oh, now all of a sudden we're going to be willy-nilly? Now all of a sudden we're going to be, are you kidding me?
Willy-nilly?
Yeah. That we're all of a sudden we're going to go out there and start naming people's genders? That's reckless.
Is it?
Yeah.
Has The Rock ever said he doesn't identify as a man?
No, but you don't know. Wow. We want to talk about reckless. We're talking about a man. You don't want to talk about his race, but you're willing to say that he's a man? Okay, whatever.
I guess you're right.
742 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, when we come back, you learned something this weekend. What is it that you learned? Was it about, I don't know, taking out the garbage? Was it about painting the house? Was it about your kids and how horrific they are? What was it about? What did you learn this weekend? Was it about your team?
I'm going to preview something. I just learned The Rock's dad was black. So that's what I learned.
So, yeah.
I learned on Monday, not this weekend.
So it wasn't this weekend. You got to find something else that you learned. So what did you learn this weekend? 713-780-3776. You got to call in. You got to bring it to the show. You learned something. You're sitting in your car right now and you go, oh, I learned something. That, whatever. I can't believe she did that to me. We've had some of those before that have been, yikes. So if you want to bring it out, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
High snap. Butler, handoff inside. Touchdown. Roughnecks. Spins his way in. It's 23-20.
Brian, did you have to do that?
I mean, there are some edits.
RJ off this week of Brian's info.
There are some edits in there where I pretty much put John, I dubbed John with Tony the Tiger.
It didn't sound like Tony the Tiger.
Roughnecks. Right. Yes, they did. Yes, it did.
Touchdown. Roughnecks.
There's that. I don't know if mine are in there, but it's like right. Because John was stealing from one of the greats.
I was pretty excited.
I saw it. That
was a big play.
I know. Touchdowns are always big, particularly in a game like that.
You know what else is big? I learned this weekend that a former real weird NBA player. Now turn my mic up here because I got to do it.
Down a little, not up.
Up. He can rap.
Was that?
So that was at Capone's on Saturday. It was Dennis Rodman. He got up on the stage and started rapping. I learned this weekend that not only is he weird, but he can also scream stuff.
Yeah, and he wasn't rapping. He was yeah. That was just an old song old he song, was barely
yeah.
singing.
Yeah, right. He was kind of like me. Sing song.
He was talking in a sing song fashion.
Yes.
Yes.
713-780-37. That's what I learned this weekend. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. Alex, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence?
What I learned this weekend is that the 13-year-old daughter of the woman who I haven't seen
Oh, you got to put him on hold.
He's not my daughter.
Ooh.
Wait a minute. Say it again because we lost you halfway through.
Hey, Alex, repeat from the beginning.
I said, what I learned this weekend is that the 13-year-old daughter of the woman that I had a night with 13 years ago is not mine, and it only cost me $209.
Ooh. I gotcha.
So you
just found out, or you've been paying for that child for 13 years.
Or maybe she came up to him and said, hey,
this is my daughter.
You're the father. Daughter. The paternity test said, wow. You are not the father. And the Maury music started to play, started to dance.
How much, you know, if Granny came up to you and said, listen.
I'd be like, this is a medical marvel. What are you doing?
Your heart probably sinks when she first says, this is your daughter. Oh, well, all right, well, okay, so 13, I got to pay till she's 18, I got five years of this. I got 5 years
or
of this.
Got one test to take.
One test, $209.
And you've avoided that.
Right.
Whew.
I kind of feel bad for the kid.
Certainly.
Because she thought she had her daddy.
If mom promised her that. Not that you can always count on someone making a good decision, but if she assumed that Alex was the dad, don't tell your daughter till you know for sure.
Right.
Don't do that.
Well, maybe she did. We don't know.
That's what I'm hoping for, that she didn't get that young girl's hopes up.
Right. But I don't know what kind of guy Alex is.
That's the other point. Maybe she dodged a bullet. Maybe everybody dodged a bullet. Alex, the woman and the daughter.
I don't know, but Alex listens to the show, so we appreciate him.
Yeah, particularly if he wasn't looking for another child or any child.
He's not stupid listening to another sports show here. Ocho, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Yeah, I learned that Kathy Hilton, Paris Hilton's mom, likes to eat baked potatoes topped with caviar.
Kathy Hilton likes to eat baked potatoes topped with caviar. I like to do that too, but I never have.
Yeah, I've never thought of it.
No, I like brisket on top of mine.
Yeah, because
chicken.
In this case, you're one of the people, like as opposed to Kathy Hilton, who's just trying to find new things to interest her because all the money in the world has bored her.
Well, and you got to put a lot of caviar. That's got to be an expensive potato.
It has to be.
Yeah, I mean, you're just trying to find ways to. I mean, to one up everybody, right?
You're telling that story. You know what's amazing?
This is because of you.
That's been years. I saw that years ago.
My head on Tony the Tiger's body.
No, it's because of you, not because of me. It's because of your call.
No, because nobody else saw that than you did.
No one else.
Well,
some of us are geniuses before our time.
Chris, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Chris, you there? No.
Put him on hold.
There he is. Hold on. Say it again, Chris.
I said, good morning, John and Dale. I said, everybody's good until they play the Astros.
You damn right they are. That's what you learned this weekend, Chris. Yeah, the Yankees were so good, weren't they?
Best team in baseball, allegedly.
Yeah, are they? And then Seattle, 14 in a row, and then they face the Astros. You're right about that, Chris. You can't be righter. Geo, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Morning, guys. I learned that the Rockets had the two steals of the draft with Tari Eason and Alperen Sengun.
Tari Eason and
Alperen. You learned about that this weekend?
Well, Sengun.
Yes.
Well, they're both in the same neighborhood, and you don't usually find a draft in the different drafts, but you don't usually find a number 15 overall that can play like those two guys, right?
No, I'm not suggesting that they're not good. I thought we knew about Sengun.
Yeah, before.
Yeah.
But the combination of those two guys in the middle of the first round, again, now, there are some real Pascal Siakam, and there are guys.
Bam Adebayo is 14.
Yeah, Bam
Adebayo. 13, something like that.
Yeah.
It happens.
It happens all the time. Kawhi.
Yeah.
Well, 19.
That's the one that.
That's the one you remember.
Or
18, and the Rockets were the pick before.
And they took some
Marcus Morris.
Yeah. Who's not a bad player, but it's just not Kawhi.
Not Kawhi.
No. And Marcus Morris not here anyway, so.
Letho, is it?
It's probably Mito.
Mito. It's probably Mito.
Hey. Man, I learned that even if you're with a chick and y'all don't establish what the relationship is, she's still going to think you're her girl. I mean, you're together with her, so that's what I learned.
It doesn't matter what you tell her.
Or maybe you haven't even told her anything. She's going to assume that, well, I don't know what level the relationship Mito's at, because once you do a certain thing and you weren't clear beforehand, it tends to lead to a certain attachment.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't know what he did, but I'm just going to assume history would suggest that if you did that certain thing, if you did it multiple times, she's going to think that you're at a different level.
And well, even if you say, listen, this is the level we at. Well, let's make this clear.
Not all women are like this, and not all men are like this, but some people, no matter what you say, once you do that thing, it becomes a thing where, all right, we're at this level no matter what we've said in the past because we did this thing.
What's that thing? Is buying her a caviar baked potato?
No, that's only for Kathy Hilton.
Oh.
No.
What is it?
Once you do a certain commit a certain act, it changes things. That's all.
That's all. Well, that's it's personal.
Though. Yeah.
It's personal. Tom, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
When there's an adult skate night at a skating rink, you need to go.
Ah. Well,
I'm not
going to. Adult skate.
I'm going to back him on that.
I don't know about that. I haven't skated since I was like 12.
If that's happening, generally it's a singles event. I don't know how many married couples are just going to go to skate night. I think that's a prime place to find someone single if you're looking for that certain thing. Because it's like a throwback to your childhood, and I'm not sure married people got time for that, particularly if they have kids. They really don't for an adult night at the skating rink. So, I mean,
it feels like you're trying to get back to your childhood, your youth days, and, you know, maybe that is a great place for guys to go and meet. Women are open to holding hands on couples only.
Couple skates.
Couple skate?
Yeah, I mean, if you're not a person who likes the bar, but you're guaranteed adults would be at a place where they're open to have conversations, that's not a bad place.
No. No, it seems like that would be a great place. I don't know. I'm married. I don't go to open skate adult skate night, but it seems like that would be. Thanks for the info, Tom. I don't know that I've seen a skating rink in a long time. Are there rinks around still?
In places. I mean, there was a...
I thought they went the way of the drive-thru.
Kind of. There's a place in Webster. It's not a great one, but there's a skating rink there. I don't know if they would have an adult skate night, but there are places. It's like you said. It's not... They're not prevalent.
No, not prevalent at all. I don't know that's a great... Unless it's a place to go hook up. It turns out to be a place to go hook up. I don't know. It's a great business model. Don't know. 757... ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Well done, people. Well done. Y'all did a great job once again on what did you learn this weekend in one set. Did you have one? Did you have anything?
Yes. If you couldn't tell from the first segment, despite a lackluster season 8, all the Game of Thrones content that came out this weekend let me know that I'm back in. I'm back in for the show that comes out August 21st.
Oh, you saw the trailers?
Yeah, I saw the trailers, and I gotta be honest. I'm back in.
Are you?
I'm all the way in because it's all about this palace intrigue stuff. You're going to see dragons a lot more if you're into that sort of stuff. I'm more into the politics of the...
Yeah, me too.
And that appears to be at the forefront of this show, House of Dragons. So I'm in. The trailer ends with a knife to someone's throat. Come on.
I can't beat it.
Come on.
There's a lot of that going on in Last Kingdom.
Yeah.
A lot of knives to the throats.
Yeah.
And I'm all in on Last Kingdom right now, except I don't like the magic part of it, the curse part.
I'm trying to think. Yeah. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little, it takes you out of all the reality of the swords and the killing and the politics, and then there's like a curse involved.
It's a good, I'm going to tell you, Last Kingdom is a really good storyline. There are all kinds of plots and twists and everything else. Now, it's also like a weekly a hero show on television back in the 80s in that he's always in trouble. He's always got a problem every single one.
Yeah, he's kind of... I will say, as I've talked about, Nah, I can't give anything. Yeah, he's a guy who's always fighting. There's always an issue.
So it's a, can't we just go and hang out for a while? No. Maybe he hasn't seen his kids in forever. Maybe just go take him to the playground or something.
Which season are you in?
Three.
You remember? I think his first wife who's very pious and religious.
Yeah,
and she had a kid. She'll show up again later. It doesn't go well, by the way, because he ditched her.
She was not too pleased
with the heathen to begin with. So that doesn't end well. I mean, nothing awful happens. It's just they don't have a relationship, and he goes, "Oh, look who it is." Nah, she's like, "Nah, not you.
We ain't doing that.
Nah,
we ain't doing this." Brita wouldn't do that either. 8:00, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.